Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum is on the air. Never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum is a call to arms for those American patriots who, in the tradition of our founding fathers, will stand up now to defend the Constitution and the liberties that it guarantees to each citizen, to each of us. That is our mission, to explain in a clear and concise manner the direct effect of each issue on the individual, on you personally, not some anonymous being in a distant place, and to define in no uncertain terms the consequences of inaction. Let the battle begin.
This is Dr. Dan. George Washington, our nation's first president, was the only president ever elected who did not belong to a political party. John Adams, our second president, was a member of the Federalist Party and defeated Thomas Jefferson, who then became Adams' vice president. Jefferson was a member of the Jefferson Republican Party, which consisted primarily of the failed Anti-Federalist Party, and he easily won election as our third president. The decades leading up to the war between the states were contentious and filled with controversy. That caused the formation and breakup of several political parties. Ulysses Grant, elected president in 1869 after the war, was the first leader of the Republican Party, which was the renamed Anti-Slavery National Union Party formed in 1854. The election of Grant marked the end of the multi-party era in the United States. And since then, America has been a two-party political system in which two parties shared virtually all the power. The presidency of Theodore Roosevelt, 1901 to 1909, and the nearly successful campaign of Ross Perot in 1992 were the only significant departures from the Republican-Democrat duopoly, which now rules the United States. Election campaigns by so-called third parties and third-party candidates have been largely unsuccessful. In contrast to the American political system, many nations have a parliamentary system. Multiple parties seek control of a legislative body by winning a majority of the seats in the election or by forming alliances of minority parties to achieve a majority. While this system may seem a little bit chaotic to Americans, it does give smaller parties and startup political parties more opportunity to gain power. As it was with the American political experience, contentious times often serve as the incentive for the formation of new parties. The United Kingdom is currently experiencing serious threat to its cultural heritage, traditions, and individual freedoms because of uncontrolled mass immigration allowed and encouraged by those in control of Parliament. After our commercial break, I will return with my guest on Freedom Forum Radio, Paul Golding, the founder and leader of a new political party in the United Kingdom called Britain First. This is Dr. Dan, and we are back with Paul Golding, the founder and leader of Britain First, a new and successful political party that is committed to the maintenance of British national sovereignty, independence, and freedom. The men and women of Britain First are our allies in the worldwide battle to preserve the natural law rights of individuals, limited government, free market economy, personal responsibility, and individual freedom. So go to their website, BritainFirst.org, BritainFirst.org. Their party principles are in line with conservative ideology in our country. I urge you to support Britain First. Any victory for Britain First is a victory that helps us retain our rights and freedom here in America. So, Paul Golding, it is an honor and pleasure to welcome you as a guest on Freedom Forum Radio.
It's great to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me on to speak to your listeners and your audience. I must admit, I've never been to the USA before, but we're planning on, well, I'm planning on the first trip to America this autumn to attend a Trump rally, mainly for inspiration. So we can learn from the best, so to speak, and hopefully repeat the exercise here on British soil.
Well, that's a great idea, and I hope that you and I can personally meet. That would be an honor and a privilege for me. You know, in America, Paul, most of the Democrats and Republicans, especially on a national level, are bought and paid for. They do the bidding of the wealthy elite who have purchased their votes and access to the mechanisms of government. Essentially, we have a uniparty here, and a small upstart party, like, for instance, Libertarian or the Green Party, they have little chance of victory. Can you explain Britain's parliamentary system and electoral processes for us? You have both large political parties and small ones. How does that all work for you?
Well, the British political system, in my personal opinion, is not too dissimilar from the American system in that we have two dominant political parties, which essentially stand for the same thing. And it doesn't matter which you vote for, you end up going down the same road. And that's the same in America. It's the same in Britain. In fact, the incumbent Conservative Party government in Britain at the moment is deeply unpopular, primarily because they're conservative in name only. And they've been governing now for 13 years. They have a huge parliamentary majority. They can pass any laws they want. And what we're left with is a woke, left-wing, liberal government. And they're deeply unpopular in this country, especially the unelected Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, who's got no democratic mandate whatsoever. So we have a parliamentary election every 5 years. The largest party that wins the most seats in Parliament, not necessarily a majority of seats, but the largest party, is invited by the King or the Queen, the monarch, to form a government, which is then populates the executive branch of our government system. And it's like a game of table tennis, the same in America, where the ping pong ball is batted from one party back to another, it's just backwards and forwards all the time. But the country is continually heading down the same direction, which is a globalist liberal left wing destination we're all heading for. It's exactly the same in America, and it's a carbon copy of what's going on here, with just a few differences, a few tweaks, but essentially it's the same system. We have a uniparty situation here. Like I say, the only difference really is some very minor differences in the way that the political system functions, but it's the same core situation, I would say, on both sides of the Atlantic.
You know, it's kind of interesting that you should say that. And we know that there are a lot of political parties in Great Britain, like there are here. And the fact that the systems kind of are working the same makes me wonder, do you have the same influence of large dollars in Britain that we have here? That would be a question. For instance, Susan Collins of Maine, a senator, recently was reelected. She spent $90 million in a campaign to get reelected for a seat that pays, or a job that pays, $175,000 a year. So that leaves about almost $89 million kind of unaccounted for. And you and I both know what that does. Is that kind of what's going on in Great Britain as well?
Absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head. The similarities are very striking. And we have a situation in this country, and everyone knows it, that the Conservative Party, which is conservative in name only, it's quite confusing. Your equivalent or our equivalent of the Republican Party is called the Conservative Party. But essentially, if you went back 50, 60 years ago, they would have been conservative with a small c. But now they're essentially liberals. We have a your equivalent of our Labour Party, which is on the left of politics, is the Democrats. And they have, just like the Democrats, moved ever so far to the far left of the political spectrum. And the Labour Party are well known to be almost entirely funded by communist trade unions in this country, real far left extremists. They're currently wreaking havoc across the country with endless strikes. It's causing misery for the British public. But essentially, the trade unions fund the Labour Party and big business, the City of London, the hedge fund traders, the stock market traders, and so on. Everyone wants to buy influence. They all fund the Conservative Party. That's the same. It's a similar situation you have in America. America can quite convincingly be called a plutocracy because it's a government or a political system where you need vast amounts of money to get anywhere. And it's exactly the same in Britain. I like to think that just like the America First Trump movement, Britain First it has always been funded entirely by very, very small donations from large numbers of patriotic working class individuals who love their country, who are patriotic and want to see a better Britain for their children and grandchildren. So we're entirely funded. We very, very rarely get a donation that's larger than £1,000. And so we're not bought and paid for by any vested interest, financial interests. We're a people-powered movement, just like Donald Trump is, I think, as far as my research has taken me. You might have a different view on that, but I think the Trump movement is funded primarily from grassroots donations, and so is Britain First.
Well, what you've raised, of course, is extremely interesting and extremely important. The effect of big money in politics has destroyed the ability of regular people like you and me to have a say. If I contribute to either party, or if I contribute to the Republican Party, which I no longer do, they're doing things which really do not are not at all in my best interest. And so you do have a uniparty, just like we do.
Absolutely.
What we call it, of course, is an oligarchy. And what that means is the wealthy control anything. And the unfortunate thing is that this is an oligarchy which extends worldwide. So when I say to my listeners that you and I are allies, we are truly allies. I'm very proud to say that I'm a life member of Britain First. I believe in what you are doing, and I support those efforts here in this country as well, because we have to unite all of the little people to try to take and retain power. That's what it's come down to.
Yeah.
And we don't call them, they're not right and left. That's a very bad description. There's a continuum of government between total government and no government. And what they want is total government, and that's what we call authoritarian or totalitarian government. So that's when I say we're fighting the same battle. We really are. I applaud you for doing that. And I know that you have come against a lot of opposition. So
yes.
When it comes down to the processes of government, what exactly are your goals? What are you trying to do in order to gain political power?
We have the same problem that any small party would have in the United States trying to break through into the mainstream, in that you're outgunned, you're outfunded, and the media is hostile. The establishment, we have exactly the same terminologies used in Britain that you use in the United States, which is we have an establishment, which is the media, the body politic, it's the judiciary, the judges, it's law enforcement. It's all weaponized on behalf of the left-wing liberal socialist establishment. Anyone who, you know, tries to undermine the establishment, tries to build an alternative political party to the establishment, comes under extreme and unnatural pressure, just like Donald Trump is the most obvious examples at the moment of the Donald Trump indictments left, right and centre, the nonsensical indictments. We've had the same thing over here for decades. I've been to three different prisons for Mickey Mouse political reasons. We've been censored on social media. I've been prosecuted over 10 times. Again, if I were to spend some time detailing and outlining what those prosecutions were for, you would find them ludicrous. We've been dragged into court maybe 30 times. The situation in America and Britain are so similar in that the establishment and all the different tentacles of the establishment are weaponized against outsiders. So we've really tried from day one when we launched Britain First to outflank the establishment, primarily through social media, which can be split into two sections. The first of all was up to 2018, when we had a huge presence on Facebook. We had more followers on Facebook, running into the millions. We had more followers on Facebook than all the main political parties combined. We were reaching 10, 15 million people per week, every single week. And the establishment were terrified of that. And we, just like Donald Trump and various others, we were censored. They closed our accounts. And shortly after, they threw me in prison. And they're just constantly trying to grind us down, to persecute us, to try and get us to back down and give up. But thanks to Elon Musk's acquisition of Twitter, we've managed to build up another huge following. I think I'm just on the verge now of reaching 100,000 followers on Twitter, considering that I was only reinstated on Twitter 2 months ago. That is brilliant. And it just shows you that all of our far-left opponents in Britain are all stuck on very small followings, hardly getting any engagement whatsoever. And only 2 months later, we've managed to build up a huge following on Twitter, and we're reaching, on a monthly basis, probably 50 million people with all of our tweets. So we don't need the mass media. We don't need big funding. We are a grassroots political party, a grassroots movement, always have been. And we reach the public by going through social media, through Twitter. And we receive a lot of media inquiries. And most of them we just tell to get lost because we're not interested. We don't really engage with the mass media because why give them the opportunity to demonize you, to attack you, to drag your name through the gutter? And it's exactly the same in America. But Britain First is growing rapidly. It took us 4 years of legal process to be registered as a political party because we faced obstruction by the Electoral Commission in this country. We had 9 separate applications to become a political party turned down on spurious reasons. And then finally, we dragged them to the High Court and they were forced to register us. Since then, we've been contesting elections, trying to build our profile. But Britain First is in the strongest position we've ever been. And getting back on Twitter has been critical, I would say, to broadening things out and getting new support to come on board.
One of the things that you've mentioned, which I think is really a critical thing to talk about, you know, Great Britain and America, we share a lot of the principles. We really came from the roots of the same tree. Yes. And one of those, of course, is the due process rights of individuals in the legal system. And that's what you've really been talking about. If you read Blackstone, of course, the British jurist, is the rights of individuals, and you look at our Bill of Rights, we're all talking about the same thing. We're talking about God-given natural law rights. There are rights as individuals by birth. They're given to us by divine authority, by God. And I know you believe that as well.
Absolutely.
And so that's what we're looking at, a very, very common principles that you and I and your people and our people share. And that's why when you talk about a weaponized judiciary, that is something that is really critically dangerous to freedom. Yes. When your police state can invade your home and abuse due process by taking your property, your money, your rights, your freedom for nothing, yes, then you've got a serious problem on your hands. And I know that you personally have been a victim of that.
Many, many times. We've been targeted by what over here it's called SO15 Counterterrorism Command, which, as their name suggests, they're the elite anti-terrorism branch of the security services in Britain. They spent many, many years dragging me into court, arresting me, raiding offices, raiding homes, all sorts of things, and also leading prosecutions on very Mickey Mouse minor offences. But it's everyone knows in this country now, there's a big awareness, as there is in America, that the arms of the establishment that you could usually rely on to be fair and impartial, such as the police, such as the courts, such as the judges, they're all rotten to the core, they're all corrupt, they're all politically biased, they're all weaponized.
And that concludes another episode of Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum. Join the battle on our website, www.drdansfreedomforum.com. The right to own private property that cannot be arbitrarily confiscated by the government is the moral right and constitutional basis for individual freedom.
Everything gonna be all right this morning.